It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
These kids' real teachers are these satanic musical things.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Howdy. Howdy, hi, and welcome to Cut by Cut, episode 24. The Queen is Dead, an honorarium. This is Eric. I am flying solo this week, as this was to be a rebroadcast of an event that I planned and executed at a local coffee shop in East Greenwich, Rhode Island, a place called The Nook. And once a month, I host a live vinyl listening party called Sunday Sounds. We've done it, I don't know, 4 or 5 times right now, and it's been relatively successful. I guess successful enough that I'm happy with it in the long run. This past week, I played the Smiths' The Queen is Dead, and the shop owner, Shannon, well, she prepared 4 different teas from a company called Mem Tea and paired them with the reading itself. So what I'm going to do is just run you through the show as it would have been live if you were sitting there experiencing it firsthand. But since you're not, here's what I recommend. I recommend, why don't you pour yourself some tea? It doesn't matter the blend. It can match with the show. It cannot match with the show. It can be Mem Tea, or it can be some lesser brand that you found in a gutter somewhere. But regardless, sit down, enjoy. I'm going to not be playing The Queen is Dead in its entirety. I will be playing cover songs, much like I did with my old podcast, The Novel Sound, when I did Bowie, when I did The Clash, and when I did The Misfits. So sit down, enjoy the next hour of your life. Hopefully it is a distraction from any chaos, craziness, or wackadoodliness that you might possibly be experiencing. And Chris will be back on the next episode when I have been tethered to this earth by the bounds of a good co-host who keeps me on track and, let's be honest, keeps the show funny. So, in 2013, British newspaper magazine NME released their list of the best 500 albums in rock history. Pulling from reader opinions, journalist reviews, collections of top best albums, the results were surprising, although not that surprising because you know why you're here. Anyway, beating out the Velvet Underground and Nico's eponymous album, beating out David Bowie's Hunky Dory, which came in at 3rd place, beating out Revolver from the Beatles, which came out in 2nd place, was, no pun intended, The Queen is Dead being crowned the greatest album in music history. I don't argue with this. I mean, I understand that clearly, like with all lists, the top seat is always the most debatable. But regardless of its placement, The Queen is Dead is undeniably, as biographer Johnny Rogan wrote, proof positive that lead vocalist Morrissey is the most interesting songwriter of his generation. However, Moz can't take all the credit. It's not just Morrissey's lyrics, which slam back and forth between high and low brow, violent and compassionate, literary and bass, but it's the addition of guitarist Johnny Marr's keen understanding of sound and his blend of rockabilly, 50s pop, psychedelic, and pre-Beatles British skiffle chord structures which work to hook listeners. Together, the Smiths are more than just dirges of depression, but they capture the nuance of emotion and they strike to the soul of loneliness in alienation. Tony Fletcher, in his biography of the Smiths, writes that the Smiths are a celebration of ordinariness. He draws upon examples like Morrissey's decision to wear hearing aids on Top of the Pops in solidarity with a deaf fan, or Morrissey's switch from contact lenses to wearing the National Health Service glasses as an act of pride in impaired vision, a celebration of our natural faults, and solidarity with the people. The Queen is Dead, however, is anything but ordinary. It's subversive, it's angry, and it's a study of life's dualities. From the divisive ridiculing of the Queen to suggesting that Prince Charles dreams of donning his mother's clothes in order to model on the cover of the right-wing Daily Mail, to the claim that the church, all they want is your money, Morrissey's opening gambit is an assault on the church and state unseen since the Sex Pistols' own God Save the Queen. Followed by tracks like Frankly, Mr. Shankly, Morrissey then turns his sight on the hand that feeds him and metaphorically spars with his record label. He says, "I want to leave. You will not miss me. I want to go down in musical history," over the uncharacteristically comic Oompa beat. The next track, I Know It's Over, follows a bass-driven lamentation on relationships, which in turn leaves more questions than it answers as Morrissey's narrator asks himself, if you're so clever, if you're so good-looking, etc., then why are you on your own tonight? And soon shifts tone to the more forgiving, it's so easy to laugh, it's so easy to hate, it takes guts to be gentle and kind. In Never Had No One Ever, we continue with the dark ballad of loneliness, which inevitably leads to the purposely misspelled Cemetery Gates, which, set in a graveyard, is a small diatribe about why not to purposefully mispronounce plagiarize words. It's a subtle joke about not taking words on loan, considering that A, the album's title is taken from a line in Herbert Selby Jr.'s book Last Exit to Brooklyn, B, the first two lines of There Is a Light That Never Goes Out on side two are liberated from the film Saturday Night and Sunday Morning and the song Lonely Planet Boy from the New York Dolls, respectively. Three, Marr even joins the game with guitar references to Marvin Gaye's Hitchhike and a Rolling Stones version of the Velvet Underground's There She Goes. And of course, the sample that sets the album off is a ditty called Take Me Back to Dear Old Blighty, taken from the 1962 film The L-Shaped Room. So in 2017, The Queen is Dead was reissued as a box set. Today's Sunday Sounds would have been presenting that to you live via stereophonic sound. Today, however, you are going to get a series of covers, and we begin with the Boo Radleys' The Queen is Dead.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shannon was kind enough to organize some notes regarding tea with The Queen Is Dead. And she started her tea selection off with Blue Flower Earl Grey Tea, which is a classic Celian tea, which naturally occurs, which has naturally occurring notes of caramel, and it's accentuated by a sweet, citrusy bergamot oil and blue cornflower petals. She then went on to provide some background information about how Charles Grey became associated with this particular kind of tea. And I guess there's all kinds of rumors. There are stories about his good deeds in China that resulted in the recipe for the tea coming to his ownership. Another story tells how the blend was created by the results in the recipe being a gift of tea and bergamot oranges shipping together. And of course, the blends passed through the wood container crates and infected each other. Another version of the story involves a Chinese mandarin friend of the Earl blending this tea to offset the taste of minerals in the water. In reality, it's not absolutely clear why the tea was named after Charles. Jackson's of Piccadilly says they introduced the blend in 1836 to meet the wishes of a former Earl Grey. Researchers at the OED, or the Oxford English Dictionary, issued an appeal in 2012 to find the earliest evidence of Earl Grey referring to tea. Well, if you have that information, please send it to thenovelsound@gmail.com, because, you know what, we take our tea extremely seriously here. And the next one was ginger lemon, with a pungency of ginger accented with a lemon note blended with the honey sweetness of linden. And that went really well with, I felt, never had no one ever, as ginger lemon tea is historically used to soothe nerves and treat health problems associated with anxiety. These flowers were steeped as a tea to relieve anxiety related to indigestion, irregular heartbeat, and, brace yourselves, vomiting. Today, its linden is used in many cough and cold recipes, but it also makes a delightful Saturday afternoon calm down tea.
When you walk without ease on these the very streets where you arrived, I had a really bad dream. It lasted 20 years, 7 months and 27 days. In all of that time, oh, I never had no one ever. Now I'm outside your house,
Sounds, or had I recorded it live, you would have heard me talk about Paisley Skateboards, who recently did a series of decks based on The Queen is Dead. One is an absolutely delightful rendition of Vicar in a Tutu sliding down the staircase banister with a stained glass image of Saint Morrissey being, I guess, bestruck by arrows. The other one is a really cool collage of the entire Queen is Dead album with Joan of Arc under a melting Walkman and the Queen bearing a frightening resemblance to Morrissey with devil horns. They're amazing pieces. I strongly suggest checking them out online. So we started with a red chili tea latte for our... So we started with a coca mint tea, which I'll talk about before I get into Vicar in a Tutu. But anyone with even a passing interest in the Smiths knows that Morrissey has a contentious relationship with the press, often playing himself as the misunderstood victim of their agendas. And here, on Side 2's opener, Big Mouth Strikes Again, Morrissey plays with this view, satirizing himself as martyr Joan of Arc in an allusion to his hearing aid performance. And, on the first pressing of the single, contained written in the dead wax, a quote from Oscar Wilde, "Talent borrows, genius steals," in a dig at the critics. Followed by Boy with a Thorn in His Side, we once again have Morrissey playing on the autobiographical juxtaposition of one's murderous desire for love within the music industry and the need not only to be heard, but heard and believed. The riotous Vicar in a Tutu, which I paired with Cocoa Mint because the Cocoa Mint tea is a bright and lively blend of stimulating peppermint and balanced addition of coca shells and nibs, yielding a smooth, fragrant, comforting cup. And let's be honest, I find it very easy to believe that the Vicar sliding down a banister would be drinking a delightful blend of peppermint. That sounds like a slam against people who drink peppermint or Vicars and tutus. Either one, I don't mean it that way. But anyway, in Vicar with a Tutu, it's the mockery of the Beatles' sock-darning, forever lonely Father McKenzie and cross-dressing clergyman replacing the original track that was meant to go here, Unlovable, with its famously melancholic and adolescent line, "I wear black on the outside because black is how I feel on the inside." Well, Vicar in a Tutu proves its place as a perfect replacement because its whimsicality relieves the tension of self-pity before the final two tracks. There is a light that never goes out. This is the most recognizable hit off the record, and it's also the most romantic, as the wistful narrator wishes to be out amongst the young and alive, but when given the chance at last to have a moment alone with his love, is gripped by a strange fear and pines for a double-decker bus to crash into them because it would be a heavenly way to die. And I guess in the most dramatic Shakespearean terms, ensure that the love remains pure forever. Johnny Marr would later go on record and say that, "I didn't realize that it was going to be an anthem, but when we first played it, I thought it was the best song I ever heard." Before we close out and give you a little bit of information on Some Girls, we finished with a red chili tea latte. It is smooth, creamy, and well-balanced with a pleasantly lingering heat. That's true. This is the perfect dessert chai. You finish everything, and it's almost like a Mexican hot chocolate with just a bit more foam. It's delicious. And the album closes with the enigmatic "Some Girls Are Bigger Than Others," and Morrissey's scientifically accurate, if not metaphorically questionable, declaration that some girls are bigger than others, and some girls' mothers are bigger than other girls' mothers. But which girls in particular? Well, the answer seems relatively easy if you live in England in 1986. The Queen is the biggest girl of them all, and long may she reign.
Now very, the Smiths felt very fucked over by Thatcher's government, and the environment was pretty crap. Morrissey himself, we had to escape from that environment.
car. I never want to go home, because I haven't got one anymore. Take me out tonight, because I want to see people and I want to see life. Ooh, driving in your car. Oh, please don't drop me home, because it's not my home, it's their home, and I'm welcome no more.
And if a double-decker bus crashes into us, to die by your side,
such a heavenly way to die.
And if a 10-ton truck kills the both of us, to die by your side,
all the pleasure, the privilege is mine. Take me out tonight. Oh, take me anywhere, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care.
And in a darkened underpass I thought, oh God, my chances come at last. But then a strange fear gripped me and I just couldn't ask.
Take me out tonight.
Take me anywhere, I don't care. Is mine.
There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out. There is a light and it never goes out.
There's a light.
And it
Well, folks, thanks for joining on this little solo episode and joining me for some delightful Smiths covers. If you have any that I missed or anything that you want to toss my way thinking, no, that was not nearly as good as this one that I know of, please send that and all correspondence to thenovelsound@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the Facebook, but we're rarely there. And you can send us stuff on Instagram, where we spend way too much time. We are on the internet at Radio Mutation, Podbean, iTunes, and of course, cutxcut.com. Follow us on Instagram, as I said before, and head over to iTunes to give us a review, because when it all comes down to it, your reviews keep us afloat. I am queuing up the topic engine all alone. Man, this is really sad and kind of a depressing thing to do by one's self. It's much more fun with a crowd of people around. But here we go. The topic is going to be, let's see here, pulling it out, is Slow and Low. That's right. Our next excursion is Slow and Low. Have a good one, folks.
Bow diddly, where's your brain?
Question, tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Only ring your celly when I'm feeling lonely. When it's all over, please get up and leave. Question, tell me how you feel about this. Try to control me, boy, you get dismissed. Pay my own car note and I pay my own bills. Always 50-50 in relationships.
Excellent, those are the Smiths.